Okay, this is Pastor John from First Church joining you guys today with Victor Hernandez for another Tent Makers podcast episode. Victor is a brother in the Lord, and he's also just an anointed businessman and business leader in South Texas, North Mexico. Has his hands in a lot of different operations, and really just has an anointing for bringing revival to business. So I thought it would be great to have Victor on today. Victor, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me here, Doc. Appreciate it.
Cool. No, we're blessed to be able to receive from you today. So Victor, if you can kind of just explain to us as kind of what you're into, where you are, what you're doing, we'll just kind of go from there.
All right. Well, kind of what we do right now, there's several businesses that we're operating at this time. Everything's probably going pretty well. Thankfully, they're all probably equally as strong right now. We started off just as a customs brokerage. That's kind of what my father brought me into the business. Through our knowledge of customs, of course, we've developed other businesses from there. We started off as seafood importers. We're probably the number one seafood importers in Mexico right now. We import probably about 2,000 containers a year.
Wow.
of seafood. That's tilapia, bassa, shrimp, octopus, and we have offices in Manzanillo, Mexico City, Reynosa, and Ensenada.
Wow.
Four cities there in Mexico. Mm-hmm. We have that business. We also import and distribute the hibiscus flower. It's Jamaica. It's used for teas. We're in 2019 and 2020, we're the number one distributors in Mexico for those
Wow.
2 years. This year we kind of scaled it back. We got hit a little hard in the end of 2020 because of COVID and all that stuff. And we also do chilies, dry chilies. We're not the strongest in the chilies by far, but we're there. We have some presence in the market. Probably did about 100 containers of chilies in 2020. That was our first year doing that. And we're still going with the chilies. Also have a fertilizer company. Everything has been supernatural, though, in all our businesses that we have. We've seen God develop every single one. The fertilizer business is quite interesting as well. I'll probably share later on about how that came about.
Yeah.
And we also got a Mexican ag inspection. Quite a bit of things. I might be forgetting something, but I think those are the ones.
Well, just to like paint sort of a point of reference for people, you said you were the number one importer of Jamaica in the entire country of Mexico. Is that right? At one point? Now,
yes.
For American folks, that's like, well, you know, Jamaica, what is that? But I think that's like the equivalent of being the number one sweet tea dealer in the South, is how you
you
think of that. Jamaica is...
Jamaica is the sweet tea of Mexico.
Yeah, it's a super popular drink in Latin American countries, and for you to be the number one in all of Mexico, that's staggering. That really is.
Yeah, wow. We did quite a bit.
Yeah.
But that's going pretty well. But I mean, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at, what I'm doing right now as far as business wise.
I
grew up in a Christian home. I don't have any formal business training or business studies. Everything has kind of been through the school of hard knocks, and also mostly following the Holy Spirit, kind of where I feel Him lead me.
Amen.
It's all been supernatural. Everything has kind of been God-driven, God-led ever since I started this. Kind of about who I am or kind of my story. Grew up in a Christian home. My mother was the daughter of missionaries that pioneered work in northern Mexico. So she grew up a Christian. My father wasn't a believer growing up. You know, my mom would always take us to church. My dad was he was a farmer at that time. He was a workaholic. Gone 12, 14 hours a day in the fields, farming. He had gas stations as well in northern Mexico. And so I grew up around business and then church at the same time. Well, when I was in my teenage years, you know, I ran from God. I rebelled from God. When I was 18, I got born again.
Wow.
And it was a radical conversion because I was into the whole world scene, the drugs, everything. And it was suicide, depression, everything. And I mean, Jesus just totally changed my life around, like from one day to the next.
Come on.
And I went hardcore after God. I went to Bible school when I was 19, graduated when I was 21. During that time, the Lord told me to do an internship under an evangelist, and I did that for 6 months after Bible school. And I got ordained in April of 2005. I was 21 years old, and God told me for my first event that He wanted me to do, He wanted me to go to Reynosa. I know you've been there, John. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the Lord told me to rent the baseball stadium that's there in town. I had no preaching experience. I didn't know any pastors there, nothing.
Wow.
And this was, the Lord told me to do this when I was in the midst of my internship.
Yeah.
I'm this young kid. I didn't have money. I didn't have no contacts. I mean, nothing. My dad's businesses weren't doing that hot at that time either.
So it was a big risk.
Yeah, I didn't even know what to do though. I didn't even know how to set up a crusade event or anything like that. I share this. It kind of ties in with the whole story because I see the business and revival go hand in hand.
Amen.
So the Lord tells me to do the event, tells me to rent the stadium, and my dad tells me on a Saturday, my dad tells me, well, you know what? I know this Catholic businessman from Reynosa. We need to go talk to him on Monday and see if he can help you out, you know? My dad wasn't a believer at this time. My dad was just backing me up because I was his son.
So he connected you with a Catholic business guy to get you like some sort of like footing in what you were going to do.
Exactly. And I did. Honestly, I had a hard time believing God to step out and do this event.
Yeah.
It took me a long time just to say yes. Okay, God, I'm going to do it. So this was, the Lord told me to do it on May 5th, 2005, and this, when I actually said yes to God, and I talked to my dad that day, was sometime in March. It was like 2 months before the event was supposed to happen. And on a Saturday, and my dad said, let's go talk to this guy on Monday. We walk into the guy's office on Monday, and this guy is glowing. He is going off the charts. He's like, Victor, you won't believe what happened to me on Saturday. He says, and Saturday, I was in my house. I was in my room. And he says, Jesus came to me, and he appeared to me.
What?
And in a vision, he took me to the cross, and he had me put all my sins there at the foot of the cross. And he says, and I gave my life to him. And Jesus asked me. He says, I had anything. And this guy is ecstatic. I mean, right. I'd seen him before, but I've never seen him like this.
Yeah.
And he says, the last thing Jesus said to me before he left was that on Monday, he was going to be sending his two servants to me, and they were going to be asking me for help. And he
says, come on.
You two, you and your dad, are the two servants that Jesus told me about. So whatever you need, let me know. Wow. Whatever you need, we're going to do it.
Wow. That's pretty good confirmation for your first evangelistic crusade.
Yeah. And, oh, man. And so I didn't even know how to set anything up like this. So I told him about what God told me to do the event. And he's like, okay, right now I'm going to get on the phone with the mayor. And we're going to get you that baseball stadium.
Wow. And how big was the stadium?
Yeah, it holds about 6,000 or 7,000 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And anywho, so, I mean, the guy went all out. He got something like 50 billboards. We were on 4 radio stations with advertising. He hired something like 200 people to pass out flyers. They passed out like 250,000 flyers for the event. He hired buses to bring people.
Wow.
And this was my first time preaching. Oh, my goodness. I was 21 years old.
Wow.
And all I had before, like, I didn't have any videos of me preaching or anything like that, so they were trying to make TV commercials.
Yeah.
And they would show like a Hillsong conference, and then they would put like my picture saying that I was an international evangelist, Victor Hernandez, coming to town. But anyhow, that event came to pass, and it was a success. I mean, it was a huge success. We had about 6,000 people show up.
Wow.
So many people got saved. God moved. Miracles, wow. Healings like I'd never seen. Witches and warlocks getting saved.
Come on.
It was insane. People flying out of wheelchairs. It was like a God chaos.
Wow.
That had happened. And that's how God launched me into ministry.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah. It was totally unexpected. I didn't look for it. All I did was, you know, I focused on seeking God,
yeah.
And God, and I would do what God would tell me to do.
Yeah.
And that's it. You know, I just obeyed the whole time. I kept on doing ministry, you know, and the whole time I was in ministry, I was always, you know, looking into business, or I always found it hard to ask for money or donations.
Mm-hmm.
I remember in 2007, the Lord told me to do double the amount of crusades that year and to not ask anybody for money.
Wow.
To not send out a single newsletter. Wow. He told me to take down the website, all that other kind of stuff that we kind of do.
Yeah.
And all the money came in, and we did twice the amount of crusades that year.
Wow.
And I didn't ask one person for money. And
golly, that's incredible.
Yeah. And the whole time I was doing contracts the whole time, though, God's been working and building my character in different issues and areas in my life. God really worked out a lot of pride in me. God worked out a lot of arrogance, and just also too building up my character, as far as not so much as like sin issues, but as far as building up my character with being diligent, being a person of my word, fulfilling, you know, what I'm gonna say.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Waiting, never giving up. That's kind of probably like, I think it's probably most important in business, I think, is having good character.
Amen. Yeah. And even really in any aspect of life, ministry, business, if your character doesn't have any weight, then, you know, it really is hard to be effective in anything, isn't it?
Yeah. Character goes beyond. Of course, we're as Christians, you know, we think we're so character, and we immediately think of sin issues, as
sure.
Lust or
right.
Greed or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But character goes, I think, a whole lot more beyond that.
Amen.
Yeah, it's being honest, integrous.
Yeah, doing more than what's expected of you. Simple stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah, simple stuff. And I think that's probably been a big, huge part of the blessing and the work that God has given us now.
Amen.
Is mostly because we're extremely honest. If a customer overpays, we return the money. We don't try to keep that money.
Yeah.
We're very transparent. And in Mexico is where, you know, I speak because in Mexico is where I have most of my business experience.
Sure.
That's not too much of a common thing where people are quite honest and transparent and integrity. And that's gotten me a lot of favor.
Amen.
With a lot of wealthy business owners, from being somebody that, you know, came from the bottom, not having money, not even knowing the language when I first started in Mexico.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that wild? Just doing things the right way has prospered your business, where a lot of people think if I cut here, if I short people a little bit here, then I can get ahead. But really, in the long run, just doing what's right is what actually positions you for favor.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. One of my strongest customers right now, they're customers and they're also my partners. And we're 50-50 partners in the hibiscus and the chili business. Mm-hmm. But they're one of the customers for the brokerage. I would, for 4 years, once a month, I would go knock on their doors and ask for work. And they would never give me work. They would always just slam the door. They're actually very rude, very arrogant with me.
Wow.
Yeah, and this was in 2013 when I started going with them. And they got in a pickle with their current brokerage in 2017. And by chance, they ended up calling my office. They were looking for somebody to help them. And I was like, hey, it's me, the guy that's been knocking on your door.
Wow.
that you've been telling off.
Yeah.
I never took it too hard. I never got offended by what they did or what they said. I kept my heart, I guess, pure in that. I didn't take offense. And they slowly started giving me work. I helped them out first in Reynosa, and then the main work they go through is Manzanillo. We ended up getting almost all their imports. Now we have 100% of their imports nationwide.
Come on.
Yeah. it's amazing what God's done, and it's because we were just extremely honest.
Yeah.
They're very shrewd businessmen, but being honest with them, we got a lot of favor.
Amen.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow, that's incredible. So how did you transition from... Are you still doing crusades now? Are you...
No, I'm not. I felt like in 2012 is when the Lord released me
from
crusades. So I stopped doing crusades in 2012.
Yeah.
I really wanted to focus on building up local churches or ministries, you know, because we would go all over the world preaching in countries, and you're kind of just in and out.
Sure.
And my heart really wanted to see disciples raised up, build up local churches. And so I started only working with friends that I know, pastor friends, you know.
Yeah.
Helping their churches, working more in the local church. Nothing wrong with the crusades. I just felt it was just a time for me to transition.
Right. Yeah. Just being obedient.
Yeah. Yeah, it was awesome for that season of my life. Yeah. I mean, I don't regret it at all. I did so many amazing things. It was so much fun. That's the best part, though, is, you know.
Yeah.
The whole thing is always fun. It might be stressful or hard or whatever, but, man, in God, we're always having fun. We're always having a blast. The adventure never stops. There's always something new going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, in 2012 is when I transitioned from that. And plus, two, my oldest daughter was born. Uh-huh. So I got a job. At that time, I was working as a self-storage manager. Mm-hmm. So self-storage properties, many storages. And I did that until 2013. And that's when my dad gave me the opportunity to come into his business as a partner. And it was a big risk. It was hard. It was hard at first. I said, we're knocking on doors, getting customers. I barely spoke the language. I remember sleeping in bus stations, taking the bus, where I had to go, public transport.
Wow. Wow. And that's kind of important to say, because a lot of people think, like, when you step in to your family's business, it's kind of like a silver spoon, but that's not really the case at all, is it?
No, my dad my dad had just had a rough time with his partners,
yeah.
and he had split from them. And when I got married, growing up, everything was gravy. I had it real easy. I did.
Yeah.
But once I got married is when my dad, and I got married in 2008, is when my dad said, okay, you know, you're out on your own now. Everything's separate. I didn't get any handouts or any help or anything like that.
That's awesome.
And I put it really nice saying he gave me the opportunity, but honestly, it wasn't so pretty like that.
but it helped build
your good come to Jesus moments.
Yeah, amen, amen. Yeah, I imagine. I mean, sleeping in bus stations will build your character, won't it?
Oh my gosh, yeah, and it's and it was so tough. We were just trying to. I was trying to build the business, and I was trying to build it up from the ground up, from nothing. One of my dads, he was an employee at the time. It was just him and I, and we were just out there grinding every single day. Everything was new to us. Everything was new. You know, he had never worked in the ports before. We were both down there in the ports. We were both trying to get business, drum up customers, keep the operation going, doing collections. It was just, we were had our hands full.
Yeah.
I mean, right now we've got about 100 employees.
Wow.
I just think how we used to do all that.
Wow.
By ourselves. Probably only three or four of us starting out.
Wow. And does that guy that you started out with, like going port to port, does he still work with you guys?
Oh yeah, 100%. He's one of our partners.
Wow.
So we made him a partner because he really did push it, push the business off the ground. You know, he helped to get the thing get going.
Yeah.
He's about 2 years older than I am. He had always worked with my dad. He had worked with my dad since about 1998. So he started off really young working for my dad. See, in 2001, no, he started in 99 working for my dad.
Yeah.
He started when he was 16, around there.
Yeah.
And I proposed making him a partner because he really did help us get the business off the ground.
Yeah.
And that was in 2013. We got the business up and running. 2015, it was going good. And then in 2015, it just all came down. It was a really bad year for us. We lost everything we had. I couldn't even pay my rent. I had to move back in with my in-laws.
Wow.
Which for me was like the most humiliating thing I could say could happen to a man, is to say I have to move in with my in-laws.
Sure, but yeah. That's rough.
The main thing that God really worked out of me was that I was always an avid tither. I never stopped tithing or giving offering.
Yeah.
But I had like this a pride or this attitude that because I tithed, God had to help me.
Sure.
And and when I was down there in Saltillo, I was with my father-in-law. I was down there one night. And we're sitting at the dinner table and we're talking. And I see, man, to be quite honest, I am just pissed at God.
Yeah, come on. Wow.
Yeah. I said, I tithe, I give my offerings, and here I am. And I said, I can't afford to pay rent. I said, I came to Mexico because I think the only thing I have left is our minivan, and at least I can't take that away from me here. I had credit card debt and everything. And I just said, I'm just pissed at God because I tithe. When my father-in-law rebuked me and said I had no right to ever be mad at God.
Wow.
God doesn't owe me anything, that God doesn't have to give anything.
Amen.
And I repented right there. And I genuinely repented. Like, man, God broke that off me. I was like, okay, God, I came with nothing. I leave with nothing.
Amen.
No matter what, I'm going to serve you. I'm just going to be obedient.
Amen.
And when that happened, that's when the biggest transition came. It seems like since then, everything I I do or touch is blessed. Whew. And as I'm asked for it or whatever, I'm just obedient, and I don't treat anything as it's mine. It's all the Lord's.
Wow.
Nothing's mine.
Wow.
Well, we do quite a large amount of business. I mean, in 2019, we did about $280 million in business.
Yeah.
Wow. Last 2020, that number was about 370.
Golly.
Yeah, and $370 million. And this year, well, we don't know. This year is growing. Yeah, just 2015, that's when the whole import business, just to get out of nowhere, supernaturally just took off, from being homeless to being homeless. I remember I moved out May 15th, 2015, and by December, I was already in my house that I'd bought.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. So God just supernaturally took everything off.
I want to go back to that for just a second. You said there was like a transition, and it kind of sounds like you were delivered of an ideology where you were buying blessing from God by what you did, to being a son who just received because he's your father. And I kind of want to touch on that. So did it all just kind of avalanche at once when you had that revelation, or...
It did. Once I repented from that attitude of buying blessings, everything just avalanched. Everything just changed. I think as I was doing the right things.
Yeah.
But my heart wasn't in. My heart wasn't there.
Yes.
And then it did kind of avalanche, and it feels like that. It's just been an avalanche ever since then.
It kind of reminds me of the story of the second son in the prodigal son story, who says, "I've been here and I've slaved for you." And the father rebukes him and says, "Man, you've always been a son. You'll always be a son. You can have whatever you want." But the son took on like a slave identity and was trying to prove himself and buy blessing from his father. And the father goes, "Man, you lack not because I don't desire to give to you. You lack because you don't receive." And you know, hard work is great and good ideas are great, but if God is not, if you're not receiving from the Father, then sometimes those things just kind of fall flat, don't they?
100%. 100%. Because once you have God's blessing,
yes,
you can sell oranges on the street corner, but if you got God's blessing, I mean, shush, you'd be the most successful
orange
seller there is.
Come on, wow.
I have any formal business training. I'm not the smartest of persons. I'm not. I don't have it all together. I mean, gosh, everything that does happen and I've seen is just because of God's mercy and grace and his goodness. It's just, it's amazing. It's not because I do anything special or anything like that.
Man, that's so good. Wow.
I just, man, God's too good.
So step one for young business people, just get wrecked in the love of the Father.
Yeah, that's where it all started for me.
Yes.
That's where I got my encounters with God. Everything in my life has been based off that. And not ministry. It was based off of spending hours and hours with the Lord, really getting to know him.
Yes.
Ministry and business and everything came from spending time with God and really getting to know him.
Yes.
I couldn't even before I had my encounters with the Holy Spirit, I couldn't even speak in front of five people. I was a stutterer. I was everything. I was just very insecure, very, very everything. But the Holy Spirit came and he filled all those places in my heart and my life. He totally transformed my identity. And everything has come out because of what the Lord did in those times with him.
Wow.
I remember when I was in Bible school. even after Bible school, when I was in ministry too, I'd spend 8-10 hours a day in prayer, and it wasn't like something I was trying to grind out. It's because, man, I loved it. It was just that time alone with God.
Amen.
Talking to Him, reading His Word.
Wow.
That's where it all started. Where it all started for me.
Amen. And how did, so like that passion and that love for relationship with the Father, how does that mm-hmm. transition in your day-to-day running a multi-million-dollar operation like you are?
Well, now I just spend time talking to him throughout my day. Wherever I go, wherever I'm driving, I'm not in my room
sure.
locked away, but I'm talking to him all the time as I'm driving. In between phone calls or meetings, I'm always asking for his help, his guidance. Or what do I do here? What do I do there?
Amen. Amen. So it's more like, as you're making decisions and facilitating your business, Holy Spirit, what are you doing in my business? And then kind of coupling with what He's doing.
And I just go with where He leads me, with where what He tells me to do.
Come on.
It doesn't mean it doesn't get hectic. I mean, I think I average about 250 calls a day. Gosh, I don't even know how many.
250? What?
Oh. Yeah, that's a lot of stuff going on.
Man, that's amazing.
It's just emails, probably about 300-400 emails a day.
Man,
it's quite a bit, but I talk to God. I'm always asking Him for help, but I'm also working quite a bit, but I do talk to Him all the time.
Amen.
Without go through.
Wow. Wow. Well, yeah. Switching gears, with everything going on, how do you keep yourself from getting to that workaholic place, that where you don't have time for your kids or have time for your wife? And what are some strategies you do?
I try to always be home by 7 o'clock. Sometimes I do have to travel for business or whatever.
Sure.
And I'm out of town, but I try to always be home by 7 o'clock.
Okay.
And when I'm with them, I try to give them my attention.
Yeah.
You know, as best as I can. It does get hard, though, I'll be honest. That is probably one of my weaknesses right now. I'm probably going to be real transparent with you right now on this podcast.
Yeah.
That probably is one of my weaknesses.
Yeah.
I try to always keep the weekends for them 100%.
Yes.
Nope. Nothing. Whatever. During the week, it does get a little hard, though.
Yeah.
I do have that in my experience. You know, my ancestry. My dad was a workaholic. Oh, my dad would leave months at a time.
Wow.
So I do have that tendency, and it's something that I do have to fight.
Yeah.
To not fall into that. I am having so much fun with businesses. It doesn't mean it's not stressful. It's not hard. It's not a challenge at times. But at the end of the day, it is fun.
Yeah, and it probably helps to know too that God has called you to it.
Yeah, I really do see it. I never talk about what I give or what I do, but you know, we put on events where we'll give out thousands of toys. We'll fill up stadiums where we're giving out toys, and they're preaching the gospel.
Yeah.
During the pandemic last year, we crossed, I don't know how many trucks of food. We were able to help feed 8,000 families in Reynosa during the pandemic. We put quite a number of pastors on salary.
Wow.
Because they shut down the churches. You know, the mm-hmm. churches were closed, and I felt God tell us to put the pastors on salary.
Wow.
And that's what we did. I've helped other young evangelists that want to go out and do crusades. Before the pandemic, we're doing a crusade a month that I would finance, I would underwrite for these other ministries, helping ministries all over the place. And it's not, I'm not trying to do it. I'm always just being obedient to where he leads me or how he fills me. And it's not. I always don't even hear like a clear voice I just feel his nudging, like that's what he wants me to do, and I do it.
Amen.
And it's funny, it's like every time we do something, and we never do anything expecting something back in return.
Right.
We always just give it, and you know, we give it, and their goal is gone. It wasn't ours to begin with.
Amen.
And like the blessing just comes back greater and more. And but it's really important that, you know, people never give thinking to give back something in return.
Yeah.
Even though we do.
Yeah. But, it's the truth. Yeah. Humanity.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But God really does bring back explosion of blessings. It's crazy. Every single time. Every single time.
Wow. Wow. Well, Victor, I don't want to keep you too much longer, but before you go, what would be like if you could give us one key of advice for young, kingdom-minded business leaders or entrepreneurs, what would that be?
Really find your identity in God first.
Yeah, come on. I had a feeling you might say that.
Yeah. It doesn't matter who you are, what you have. As long as you know who you are in God, and if you know that God is with you, you really can do anything He asks you to do.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
I saw that in ministry. God told me to do my first crusade. Yeah, He told me to rent the largest stadium in town. And I never even preached.
Wow.
And I saw that in business. So when I closed my first contract for the hibiscus, it was something for like 240 containers of hibiscus. I didn't even have a supplier or even know how I was going to get it in to import it to the country.
Wow.
But I just felt like God told me to do that. And it's because I know Him. And
golly, and that's so good.
When He speaks something to me, or He gives me the peace, or He gives me trust, like, because I trust Him. I know He's going to come through.
Yeah.
He's never let me down. He's never failed me. He's always been with me. So
amen.
I thank you.
Amen. And then on the flip side of that, too, like, if you don't build from the place of intimacy with Jesus, when you do get this success, it can crush you, can't it?
Yeah, that's probably the most dangerous thing that can happen to us is...
Yeah.
To be blessed with success and not be grounded
in
Christ, because it can go to your head. I mean,
amen.
See, lots and lots of money come through.
Amen.
It really can go to your head.
Amen. Wow. Victor, man, thank you so, so much for spending time with me today. I know people are blessed listening to this. Before I let you go, would you just pray a blessing over anybody listening right now?
Yeah, I will. Thank you. Thanks for having me. Well, then let me pray. Yeah. The Holy Spirit, I thank you for this ministry. I thank you for this podcast, Lord. I thank you for the work that you're doing in raising up men and women of God in ministry and in business that know you, that are grounded in you, Lord, because you're the number one blessing. You're our number one blessing. You're our number one joy. You're everything is for you because of you, and it's all for you, Lord. Everything. It's all about you, Jesus. It's never about us.
Yes.
Help us to always keep that in mind and never lose sight of that, Lord. And thank you for giving us this opportunity, Lord, to enjoy this journey of life with you, to enjoy our family, our business, our churches, our friends, everything, God, that you've given us. Thank you so much for everything, Lord. Thank you for all your blessings. I pray for every person listening, Lord. I pray that you would just penetrate every fiber of their being, Lord, that they would know you more, God, that they would have their identity grounded in you, Lord, not grounded in successes, not grounded in failures, not grounded in anything, God, but may we always be grounded in you, Lord, because you're the solid rock, because the winds will come, the storms will come, but as long as we're standing on you, we got everything.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. We thank you for your blood. We thank you for everything you did for us, Lord, on the cross, every drop of blood you shed, every thorn that pierced your skull, Lord, every
yes.
the flesh that was torn from you, yes, God. Thank you. It's all because of you and all because of what you've done for us, Lord. So we thank you for that, Lord. We give you glory and honor, Lord. In yes. Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Victor, amen. Thank you again. God bless you, brother, and everything you do. This is going to bless so many people. I know it. You have a great afternoon, and thank you again for spending time with us, okay?
Thank you for having me. Blessings.
Blessings.